Welcome to another episode, guys. I was going to give you that tea. I was going to hand it to you. I was going to say, hey, Ames, here's your tea.
It's part of the episode.
I was going to make it part of the episode. Oh. We're super, like...
super real and...
real and, yeah, in the moment.
Yeah.
We're not rehearsed.
No, not at all.
But well, there's your tea.
We aren't actually rehearsed. Mm. All
right. But I want you to try your tea. That was the point of me giving it to you.
You want me to try it on live?
Yeah.
Podcast.
On live.
Did you put cinnamon
on live
in
recording. No, I didn't put cinnamon in it.
Mmm, it's really yummy.
Yeah.
Oh, vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, babe.
Oh, well, I was
so glad it's not cinnamon.
Yeah. Now you say
if you know, you know.
Yeah. Well, I just want to state that my legs are sore.
Because you've been running?
I have.
You're just trying to get away with saying how fit you've become.
I have become extremely fit. I've finally taught our oldest to ride a bike, and which means I run to keep up with him.
Yeah.
Which so win-win.
Very, very good effort, my dear.
Thank you. But, you know, it took him about 2 minutes and we've been taking him for a ride every night.
You've done very well with that,
babe. He's been doing really well. That's why my legs sore, and I just want to say that on the record that I've been running. Well done, me.
Good job.
The other exciting thing is we booked our plane tickets to New Zealand for this counselling course session.
Yeah. So there is an intensive debrief counseling session that an organization runs in New Zealand. And so we are going to be attending for a week in the beginning of June, which we're really excited about. Not excited because it's going to be a super fun time. I think it's going to be pretty heavy, but we're really looking forward to the process. And we hope to take you guys along.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be cool. We don't know exactly what it looks like. So if we can record while we're there, that'd be awesome. But if not, we'll do a recording after. We won't do something intentional every year for our relationship starting this year.
Yeah.
We haven't done anything like this before. I mean, we did marriage counseling. We've done little things here and there, but we wanted to do something quite intentional. So this is it. So I am excited for the trip, but it'd be quite heavy as well. So I think I've got a romantic picture in my head of what it'll be like, what it'll actually be like, but it'll be good either way.
I think it'll be really good. This week we've upped the game and we've put headphones on.
Yes.
So that we look like real podcasters.
I know. It's actually helping me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like with knowing how much random noise we get through these mics.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we're switching the game up tonight. So Blair is going to be leading us in this chit-chat discussion.
Strap in.
Which is really exciting for me. Which means I get to do the icebreaker / little fun intro thing. So first of all, I wanted to start with some easy would you rathers because they seem to go well. People enjoyed those on the other episodes. Yeah, they did.
Oh, I haven't heard that feedback.
Oh, really? Yeah. They really enjoyed it. I had lots of people messaging me and be like, legs the size of fingers, fingers the size of legs. So anyway, all right. Would you rather wear wedding attire every day or sweatpants every day?
Sweatpants.
Yeah, same.
Classic.
100%.
Yeah.
And have you seen Hamish and Andy?
No.
The swoot? Is it a swoot? Is that what he calls it?
I don't know. I'm just thinking
or even New Girl. They do the New Girl too. Yeah, yeah. You can get fancy sweatpants. Yeah. That was an easy one.
Yeah.
Would you rather only watch documentaries or reality shows for the rest of your life?
Documentaries. I really like documentaries. Mm. I don't watch them because you won't let me.
I'm sorry. Are you an independent man with free time?
No.
What do you watch all the time? Your shows. That's the answer. Your shows.
Yeah.
So you could just watch documentaries then. You just think they're slightly boring and you want someone to watch them with you.
Yeah, I do find them very fascinating but slightly boring.
Yeah.
Same. So I can't stick with it.
100% for me, reality shows. That's not surprising and you hate those. So
well, I don't hate
that's not true.
Those.
Some of them you really
I hate
like.
The people in those.
True.
They're probably lovely people, but they're just douchebags.
Maybe you hate the premises of some of them.
Yeah.
You hate absolutely. The drama that the producers... All right. This is a good one. This is our last would you rather. Would you rather sell an organ or empty out your entire bank account?
Depends which organ. What's the most unneeded organ?
I know people can go without one kidney.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Rather than emptying out your bank account.
Yeah. I think, yeah, absolutely, because it's you know, especially when we're coming from a perspective of being a parent.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I would sell my organ. We'll get rid of my organ.
I think I'm the same.
Hmm. We're just really selfless people.
Or are we money hungry? Could spin it either way. All right. So the last thing that I wanted to do, which is not a would you rather, is what is a lighthearted, cringy / awkward memory that when you still think about it, you're like, ugh.
There's a couple. Like one, I used to laugh a lot.
You used to laugh?
I used to laugh a lot at some random things, right? Mm. Like, so for example, I remember this one thing in my head, and this isn't the cringe, but like we're playing basketball and two basketballs hit each other in the air and I fell on the ground cracking up laughing, right? And I used to do that. And I feel like that's, I've suppressed these laughs because they were uncontrollable laughs. Mm. And there's one time, so I used to live on a ship for a couple of years, and when people hurt themselves, it was another way that I would just crack up laughing. And when I knew they weren't hurt, I'd laugh even before I knew if they were hurt or not. And then, like, when I knew they would hurt, I'd stop, but kind of giggle. And then, anyway, there's one time a friend of mine, she fell down the stairs on the ship and I cracked up laughing and everyone was looking at me like, dude, she just fell down. Probably like a decent stairs, a decent amount of stairs. And ever since then, I've really tried to control that laugh and I just feel like I don't laugh the same way.
Was she okay?
Yeah, she was fine. I mean, she was bruised, but she was laughing herself, I think.
Mm. We're back.
We are back.
After a brief intermission, baby intermission, we're back from my awkward story.
Yay!
Why do you think I asked you this question? Purely because this story popped into my head today. I cringed, and then I thought, why don't I tell the world?
Okay.
Just to make it better.
Yeah.
When I was in year 7, so I was like 13, I had this crush on a boy that was a few years older than I was. We were in like the same project, extracurricular school project thingy that we were working on. Trying not to be too specific here. Anyway, I cannot stress enough how unimportant I was to this boy. I cannot stress, like, not in a bad way. Okay. Just I did not exist in his realm.
Okay.
But I
was he in the same class or something?
No. No. He was just in this thing with me that we were doing for school, but outside of school times. Anyway, because we were paired up in this thing, I was like, well, now we're meant to get married and be together, and obviously had a crush on him. And I thought, we're so familiar. We just know each other, but I'm going to play it cool. And how can I do that in such a casual way, but also let the whole of my girlfriends know that we're really familiar. So we're watching a sports tournament at our school, and we're watching our guy friends play basketball, and he was in the team with them. And we're sitting along the outside, and he was like kind of, I want to say stationed on this part of the court, but that's not what I mean. Position, that's the word. So he was positioned near where we were sitting next to the court, and he just happened to be like kind of paused right in front of us, like a meter in front of us for a little while. And I was like, oh, this is my moment to make sure that my friends know how connected I am to this guy. And so I thought, quick, what's something I can say to him while he's standing right here in the middle of his basketball game? So I go, hey, what's the time? And he just kind of like looked. I yelled his name. I was like, hey, beep, what's the time? And he just kind of looked back at us and he like was like, I don't know. And kept playing his game. And straight away I was like, why did I do that? I didn't want to know the time for one thing. He's in the middle of a basketball game against our like rival school in front of everybody. And I was like, wow, I proved to my friends how close we are. I think that was the last time I talked to him.
You have never asked me for the time.
Yeah, I don't really need to know what the time is most of the time. True. So that's my cringe story. If you know who you are, if you're listening, I'm so sorry about that.
Well, he lucked out.
He did luck out.
Yeah.
He does not know what he missed.
You, mate. Cool. So we've released now. We've released for, I think, 3 weeks.
Oh, we have been. Yeah.
Released for about 3 weeks now. Yeah. How are you feeling?
Great. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
Well, I'm still on
you. Mean about the podcast?
Yeah. Like, how are you feeling about the release? And
I it's been a lot of work, but it doesn't feel like difficult work for me. I'm the one that does most of the editing and posting at the moment, which is fine. Like, as in, that's how it would have been probably anyway.
Yeah.
And it is a lot of work, but it's kind of like life-giving work, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You've got the majority of the brunt here on this. Like, yeah, this is all you, for sure.
Self-inflicted, most of it, but yeah.
Well, yeah. And this is what you're really good at.
Thank you.
I'm good. I'm feeling good about it. But like, we've shared some stuff, and I'm like, well, that's out in the world now.
Oh, vulnerable things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. And so that's probably my only, like, not cringe. It wouldn't be cringe moments. But like, I know a lot of people that are listening to this right now. And yeah.
Yeah.
Probably that's the only thing.
It's a weird feeling. I think you've probably had more of the blows in terms of vulnerability than I have. Mm. It's a weird feeling. I think that's who we are anyway.
Yeah,
to some extent, we don't normally have a public platform, but if we were talking to any kind of person, most people, we would be open with those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think for me, the bigger concern that I'm kind of holding my breath for is like, we're not always going to say things that people like or agree with. And so I'm a little bit nervous about the time when people start to get annoyed at us, which will happen, and that's fine. Yeah, like, I'm not actually worried about not annoying people, because if we if we weren't honest with what we believe about things or what we hold to be true, then I think we wouldn't be valuable to the world.
Yeah,
that's the value that we have to add, the same as everybody else. But it is a bit of a daunting thought to think the stuff that we're publishing is open to any trolling, speculation, judgment.
Yeah. The other thing too is that I feel like we've both struggled with is imposter syndrome.
Oh, 100%.
Quite a lot. Yeah, like, that's something we've spoken about a couple of times. I think, and that's where, you know, both of, again, from conversations we've had, is that we want to be focusing on our time together and what we're getting out of it rather than what we're giving to other people.
Yeah.
And we're just hoping that what we get out of it is going to help other people and be a blessing to other people, and not, but that's not our focus. And, but it's still not easy. Mm. But, on that though, to our listeners, something you can do to help us with this is like, share, subscribe. I think we would love to get this thing going. We really would love to reach more people and support more people, and the support that the feedback we have had is really encouraging. And so keep that coming. I'm just really encouraged by that. Even though we do struggle with imposter syndrome, I think we're always going to struggle with that.
Yeah, I think major public figures still struggle with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's a hard thing to escape. But
yeah,
we have had amazing feedback already, which has been super encouraging. If you are listening and you're like, really enjoying what you're hearing, we actually want to hear from you. Like, we genuinely do. It wouldn't be a weird thing. It wouldn't be like a, all right, who do you think you are kind of thing. Like, we genuinely want to hear from you. So even if it's just like, I don't know, whatever, just a quick message on Instagram or something like that. We genuinely, those things have come at such perfect times for us so far. For me, I'll be like, oh, why would anyone want to listen? And then the next time, next day or something, we'll get a really encouraging message. So please feel free to message on the stage. If you're listening now, or if you're listening in like 3-6 months time, it still stands. Guys, we have an exciting update. What's our exciting update?
Patreon!
And Spotify subscription.
Spotify sub!
We have some really great quality, raw, extra content that we are going to be posting on our Patreon and our Spotify subscription. So if you are interested in a little bit more from our episodes, if you get to the end and you're like, I want one more story, now you know.
Join in.
It's also going to be a place where we will be updating, sending resources, and just keeping our little community growing and extending there. So if you're interested at all, please check it out. We will post about how to sign up. If you have any questions, let us know. Get onto the Patreon. Get onto the Spotify subscription.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So onto today's episode. We're in a chit-chat episode. Mm-hmm. And this episode, I wanted to talk about, because we've struggled with this before. This has actually been quite a big topic of ours in early days, is the friend zone in a relationship. Something that, we're definitely married. Well, I think we had kids. I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly, we had kids, and we just realized that we're in this space.
Yeah.
Right. So the way that we're going to do this, this is actually going to be sent out. There's going to be a written version of this sent out to all of our email subscribers. Yeah. So please go to our website at honeymoonitochat.com. Check that out. So, sign up through there, and this will be sent to you through email.
Yeah, some practical things.
Yeah, and we want to encourage you to do this with your partner, you know. And if you don't have a partner, just go through this with yourself. Like, understand what you value. So when you do have a partner, you can pick this conversation up and then work on those values together.
So this is a list of things that can help people kind of process where the friend zone might be.
Absolutely.
At? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you might recognize that you're in the friend zone, mm-hmm. or it could just be a great conversation like what we're having now, mm-hmm. to check in. Well, how are we going with the friend zone or in any other area too? Like, it's not limited to the friend zone. We've spoken before about how we went through a list of 100 questions when mm-hmm. Before we were married, and that really helped us, right, to get on the same page or understand where each other were at. This is essentially the same thing. So we want to give this list to our listener so they can actually go through as a couple as well. So more of a resource thing as well, but we're kind of going to talk through it ourselves now.
Awesome.
Cool. So what I mean by friend zone, obviously you are my friend. I have told you plenty of times, I just love you around all the time. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm doing something, I just want you there, part of that, right? Now, with the friend zone, there wasn't a real difference between the way that I treated you and my friends, mm-hmm. right? And there's a lot of different things in that space and vice versa. Like, mm-hmm. we got into a very jokey state and we have a lot of fun together. We joke around a lot, but that was a lot of our interactions.
Yeah.
And it was more buddy rather than wifey interactions. And that's the friend zone. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that correctly. Would you add anything to that explanation?
No, I mean, I think what it looks like is going to be different to everyone who's in a friend zone.
But absolutely. But for us, would you explain it, add anything?
I think for me in the friend zone times, there's been like a sense of kind of not annoyance, but just like, I keep saying meh these days and I just hate that I say that so much because use your words, Amy. Just like complacency or something like that. Just whatever. Numbness. Mm. Yeah. To me, I think if I think about the friend zone time, it's not just a fun time. It's actually when the fun times have turned a little bit numb or a little bit dull or a little bit whatever.
Yeah. And so what we're going to do today, I just want to go through a bunch of different things that we kind of went through. Mm-hmm. This organized. I think we just went through it, you know, like we just had these conversations over time, not we went through this exact list at that time. And I think if we did have this list, it would have been a big help. I think the first thing, so I'm going to read these out. Maybe we can just discuss where we are. And if we're getting a bit stale, just give me a sign and I'll speed it up.
Okay.
Cool.
I'll just be like, speed it up, babe.
Yeah.
Come on.
I got nothing. All right. So first one, communication breakdown. Something we had to do was explore how and why communication changes when we would enter the friend zone and like what would that look like. Mm-hmm. And what you could do as well at home is discuss the importance of expressing needs, desires, and maintaining an emotional connection. Now, when I think of this section here, I remember specifically when you brought this to our attention or to my attention, you're like, we're just joking so much. Mm. Like it's just sarcastic. It wasn't even just joking. Mm. It was just, we're just so sarcastic with each other.
Yeah.
And it was just constant. It wasn't just every now and again. It was just very constant with our communication. What are other things that you notice in the way that we would communicate?
Probably business related to communication rather than
And not business time.
The opposite. Practical. What are we doing with the kids? What's our schedule? What are you doing for dinner? What do you like want to watch? That kind of thing, but not engaging in conversation. Mm. Like the conversation we have on this podcast, those kinds of conversations have almost always been in the times where I feel very connected and like alive in our relationship. And I think those kinds of conversations were lacking.
Yeah. One thing that you mentioned in the communication side of stuff when you brought this up was the need to not be so sarcastic.
100%.
Right. And that was, this is where this is important to have these conversations. This is what I want to ask you and be genuine here, like be real. How are you finding sarcasm at the moment? Mm.
Mostly good. I think we fall into sarcasm in certain moods and I still really wrestle with it. Mm-hmm. We had a conversation today that I think was a joke, but then my brain was like, is he actually mad at me?
On the phone?
Yeah, but alcohol.
No, I was not the phone. Yeah.
So I still,
drinking problem.
I bought myself, Blair the other day said he didn't want any wine. He doesn't want to get more wine or whatever. Then I bought myself a drink and then he's like, what did you buy today? And I was like, I bought myself a drink. And he's like, and you didn't get me any wine? I said, you said not to get you any wine. Anyway, so after that conversation,
I hung up on Amy in a joking way.
He hung up in a joking way, which like 80% of me was like, I think it's just a joke. Mm. And then I was like, but is he actually mad at me?
Yeah.
And we've spoken before, and I don't know if we've spoken on the podcast about this. I've recently been processing some attachment issues that I have as an adult to my parents. And so I'm working through that. One thing that was interesting that a friend brought up, she's a psychologist, she's amazing. She was like, interestingly, the attachment that you have with your parents, you can also start to project onto your partner.
Mm.
And so I think for me, that's where the sarcasm and the jokey, especially when it's jokey annoyance, I know that that's a joke and I can very easily and do very easily fall into that with you right there in the rhythm of it together. But a part of me doesn't know when it's a joke or not.
Yeah.
And so that's the biggest thing. So most of the time, like I think we've done way, way better at it than what the instance you're talking about is, I think maybe in our first year of marriage or something. Yeah. And I was like, this is just destroying my soul.
Yeah.
And I was just as much doing it as you, but it was a pattern of communication. And I think we're way better than that now, but there are still times like the joke today. For me, it's just not an easy way for me to navigate emotions. And cause I already struggle to know what's my thing to take on board and what's not. I think that's why I'm more sensitive to it.
And this is the thing, we're still having a sarcasm conversation 10 years later or 9 years later, you know, like I think, and again, the importance of this episode and the importance of what we're doing now, it's, I don't think it's just going to be a one-off conversation because you just keep falling into habits. Yeah. Like after I hung up, I'm like, oh, I need to clarify with Amy. I actually had that straight in my head, but then I had my elders in the car and he was talking. I'm like, I can't just call you back. And then we got there and I just completely forgot. Yeah. So you've just reminded me I was joking.
Cool.
And I
don't think joking's bad either. We joke a lot. That's actually a huge value of ours.
Yeah, yeah.
Like literally if you do a values assessment, it's up the top, which is really interesting. But I think you can easily fall into a zone where it's degrading or it's like toxic kind of joking.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to tell. It doesn't look yucky from the outside.
And when it's consistent.
Yeah, like when it's all the time.
Yeah, it was all the time. And definitely. It just gets old.
Yeah.
Next one is physical intimacy. Mm-hmm. Now, I've got two things to say about this. Going to get vulnerable again.
Yeah.
But again, something to talk about is to delve into the role of physical intimacy and affection in preventing and moving out of the friend zone. Talk about ways to reintroduce intimacy, even in small non-sexual ways.
Mm-hmm.
So what like the non-sexual ways could be massages. Again, really understanding you was a big thing, like what's your love languages, like what fills your cup, all of that was big effects to the intimacy. I just need to state for us, because we did struggle with physical intimacy, and that was actually more my side. And again, this is where we've seen the impact of pornography on our relationship and on me personally. So this is why we've got such strong views on pornography, because it's had such a damaging impact on myself personally, which is, and then in turn, our relationship. So just need to state that too. It's more than just, we just didn't do it. It was just that there was more to that as well. And there could be a lot more to that for a lot of people as well, you know?
100%.
So that's why it's important to state that now. It's not just like, oh, we need to be more intimate. We need to do this. We need to do that. It's really coming down to, okay, but why aren't we? That's a big conversation we need to have.
Yeah.
But you love massages, you know, and again, it's like, I hate giving massages, but it's stuff we need to do, you know, but now we're kind of, I'm combing your hair more.
Yeah. You comb my hair.
And I would rather do that, but I'll give you massages when you ask. I don't like not give massages.
No,
I don't always give massages.
You don't always enjoy the process.
I hate the process. I hate massages in general. So we're going to be clear with that.
I don't even enjoy receiving them. Yeah. Luckily, my kids all love them and they've started giving me massages. Mm. So that's nice. Yeah. I think 100% what you said, there is often probably more going on than just, oh, we're not doing it. And even with the porn stuff, I think porn has massively affected our relationship, but probably not even in the way that I guess you would generalize porn does. So I think even within a cause, there's a lot of layers to it and there's a lot of reasons why people might struggle with any of these categories, but this one in particular, physical intimacy. So yeah, it's a dynamic issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And a really important one too. It's something that we value is our intimacy.
I think it's a huge part of relationship.
Yeah.
And interestingly too, each season has presented different things, because even though we have struggled and it's been more on your side initially, it's also gone the other way. Like when we've had kids and even the older we've gotten, it's flip-flopped in different seasons. It's not even like a static issue that you get over, like one person always wants it and the other person never does or anything like that. It's actually quite a changeable, fluid thing that can be affected by so many things, including hormones and having young kids and being stressed at work, depression, mental health, addiction.
And all of those things have affected us, every one of those and more. So again, good to have the conversation, see where you're at with each other. I don't want to have this conversation about us on this podcast, so we're gonna. I'm not going to ask you.
Oh, okay.
Tell me the deets.
I was like, we just had the conversation.
No, we're not going to get personal there. That's between you and me.
Yeah. Also, Mum is probably listening. So.
Oh, hi.
Hey, Mum.
Okay, block your ears. All right. Personal growth and interests. Now, sometimes individual growth or exploring personal interests can reignite attraction and appreciation in a relationship. Something you can do is share ideas for personal development that can benefit the relationship. Now, this is really important too. All of them are, so I'm going to say that every time. But that's been a big thing for me. Now, when we had kids, when we had our oldest, I really struggled to have a hobby. And I really kind of, I was quite a social person before we had a kid. And then we had a kid and I wasn't. And I, not necessarily that I lost a bit of myself, but my cup wasn't getting filled, you know. I think this is another one of those things that have impacted our relationship is being that I haven't been able to come into the relationship 100% because I've been empty, like I've been empty in other areas and so forth. So I think that personal investment in personal growth, having a hobby, something that fills your cup is really important.
Definitely
been a big thing for me in terms of parenthood. If I am empty, I cannot show up and be the dad that I want to be. It just doesn't happen because I'm coming empty.
What it's also not a good example to the kids to see that either.
Exactly.
I think some parents, force it to be like, well, I have to do everything for everyone and burn myself out and still function well. And that's a really bad lesson to teach our kids. I think it's really big. Interestingly for me, after having kids, even though I wanted kids, and we have said this before, I really struggled to be at home. So unless I'm working on something, I just like, even if I like, if I stop working on something, I'll be like, I need a break, cut everything off, or I'm burnt out, I need to cut everything off. And then like the next day I'm like, what if I started this business? And so my brain has to kind of tick over on those things. And I find it hard to not have something that I'm working on, even if it's just a creative thing.
Yeah.
Like a podcast.
Magic. Okay, next one is the role of novelty. Something you can do is discuss how trying new things together can bring couples closer and out of the friend zone. This could be new hobbies, travel, or simply changing up routines. You had a good point. I shared this with you earlier. You had a good point on that. Because I said like, oh, is this, would you find this as a value? And you're like, absolutely. And I can't remember why you said absolutely.
Oh, just doing things outside of your norm, I think. Like shaking things up. Oh, no, that's right.
Yeah, sorry.
Even date night and that kind of thing.
Yeah, that was it. It wasn't necessarily the role of having to do something new because there's only so many new things you can do. And especially as parents, the option to do that is a lot less. So what we're talking about is actually not necessarily novelty, but special. So having those special things, so having date nights. Now, this is what I wanted to talk about. We, you know, again, a lot of parents don't get the luxury of having a date night. Now, we've got one Friday night. I've fully forgotten until today. Man, I'm so keen. So hopefully going to see a movie and dinner, a dinner and a movie.
See a movie and see a dinner.
Yeah, we won't eat it. We'll just look at it. But something special. So I know that's a lot of people don't have that luxury. We've been very, very blessed with mothers that are always there to support us in that way. But something that we did and we've done before, just because we haven't had the time to go out or we're exhausted, but we've identified like, hey, I need some you time, is we do COVID style date night. So during COVID, we really still valued this. When we lived in Melbourne, we had date nights every fortnight.
We used to,
We had them every fortnight. We were so lucky. So shout out to my mother-in-law for that. But what we did during COVID was, I actually really love it. I still crave it sometimes. We'd get Uber Eats and so it was still special food. It was takeout food. We mix up different styles. We didn't get Maccas like you'd get, Thai or, whatever else, something a bit nicer. And on the TV, so we'd dress up as well. We would dress up like we were going out for the night. We'd move the table and chairs in front of the TV. So we moved it from the dining room to the lounge room. And then then on, and we put candles on, all that. We made sangrias all the time. And we had in the background on the TV, it was like the background music and image of if we were at a cafe or restaurant. We've been to restaurants around the world now. We've been New fancy York, ones. London, France. These are all fancy restaurants. But it was so nice. Yeah. Like, I genuinely
It honestly
loved that.
Transported us. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's doable with kids because we just put them down and we'd have our food come afterwards.
And there's, and then the trap is like, oh, look, it's just not the same. Mm. And it's not, it is not the same, but it is really highlighting and taking that time to have that special moment with your partner. Like that's really important. This is, could be something that you take to your date night and just have these conversations. It helps break you out of that home phase or that home mind, whatever you want to call it.
We had a lot of friends say, and rightfully so, because they really don't, that they don't have enough support around them, whether they're away from friends, from family, sorry, or their family's not super involved or whatever it might be. They don't have people to support date nights. This is an accessible date night for almost everybody.
Yeah.
Even if so, and actually another friend of mine, their kid was staying up quite late. So they're like, well, I can't, we like, they won't be in bed by dinner time or by time for us to have dinner. So I was like, well, what if you did like a dessert? What if you bought really nice like donuts or something like that, or you made hot chocolates and stuff and you still did the same thing, but you just did it later?
Yeah.
I think it's doable. And even we've done it with the kids too. So even if it's worst case, or maybe not worst case because it was really fun, but like even involving the kids, so having like a fun breakfast in a fun cafe vibe or something like that.
But we did it as well. I don't know if you remember, we did it where they were the waiters.
Yeah, and they loved it.
They had so, our oldest actually asked if we could do that again.
Yeah, he's been asking me all week.
Yeah.
And he said he wants to have the little
towel
in his arm. Yeah. And he's like, Mommy, what is your favorite food? Because you do all the work and I need to bless you.
He said that to me first. He's like, Daddy, I wanna have a dinner for you. You do all the work. I'm like, yeah, but Mommy.
When did he say that to you?
Yesterday.
Oh, he's been talking to me about it for
a he's been saying it to me like a month.
He's like, Mommy, you do all the work. And I was like, what work do you think I do? He's like, you set up the whole office and we did nothing, and no one else did anything or something. It's like, what's your favorite? And all day, like even near dinner, he's like, so what's your favorite food, Mom?
Yeah,
he loves it.
Yeah, it's so good. Quality time versus quantity time. Now, this is another very big one. And again, this is our quality time. And I absolutely love it. I'm so glad we're doing this. And this is what we want to share with you guys too. You guys can do this as well with each other. But highlight the difference between simply spending time together, spending quality time together. We, again, in the friend zone, our time together was TV time. We would chill out and watch The Office. Yeah. And that was it. Like, that was our time together. We spent so much time together, but it was not quality time. Yeah. So that's been a really big one. And we've noticed that recently, hence starting the podcast and having this quality time together. It's been really cool.
I think as well with the, like the date night idea, for example, there was a reason why we set it apart from normal nights, because we have done that before where we'll get dinner after the kids, but it's just the same. We'll just sit on the couch. We'll just do whatever. But setting it apart is really important. And for us, like movies and TV is something we really enjoy. And so we'll still watch a movie on nights like that, or even nights where we're intentionally just hanging out rather than just normal evening vibe.
Yeah.
We'll like make ourselves watch something that's different to what we're watching, which is sometimes really hard because somebody's like, or we could watch the next episode.
Yeah, exactly.
But we'll be like, no, let's find a movie. And it's really good to break that up, I think, because the quality versus quantity. One thing we've spoken about is love languages. And this one in particular is really easy to be a hidden area of need, because you can be like, I spend so much time with you.
Yeah.
We spend quality time together all the time. And the person might not even recognize why it's not filling their cup. But the reality is that you can have a lot of time with someone that's not quality. If you're on your phone all the time, if you're distracted by everything else around you, if you're not in a great headspace, if you're not enjoying it, like if it's just the same as every other time, if those kinds of things, if it's a chore, all those things are going to play into it not feeling like quality time together.
Yep, absolutely. The importance of flirting. And this felt a bit cheesy writing this down, but it was really important, because I want to talk differently to you than I do my mates. You know what I mean? Like, and this also ties into the physical intimacy, or intimacy, I should say. But it's like, just, it's just that romantic, relational side, I want to have those times where I'm a little bit cheeky to you. I speak differently to you than I do my mates.
Yeah.
That's just a small one. Like, how do I talk to you? So how does that look for you?
I mean, it's in the eye of the beholder, but it's definitely something that I think is easy to not do, because if you think about when you were dating versus now, the way that you interact is very different for people.
I think this can be, I go into this a bit, mixing the flirting with matey friendship zone, because I joke flirt. Like, I'll do a lot of sexy dances. Mm. And, I mean, they're really sexy.
You don't do a lot of sexy dances.
I do some sexy dances. Yeah. And they're really sexy.
Who are you doing the sexy dances to?
My followers. Yeah. The people.
Yeah, they're all jokey.
Yeah. So it's very, exactly. And I think that's where, you know, yeah, we can struggle to mix the flirting with the sarcasm and make it jokey and but not really. Make you feel loved, I think, is a big thing. Is the flirtiness is to make you feel wanted, make you feel desired and stuff, rather than make a joke out of it.
Yeah. I think this is an area probably that we struggle with, or that I struggle with the most. Maybe not the most. It's an area that I struggle with because of that exact thing, like the jokey stuff. And also, and you'll see like 550 million reels from people about how husbands will flirt, but they'll just grab your or they'll just like
those
do
jerks.
Something else. Yeah, those jerks. And it's like, it's different. That is one that plays a role, but it's not flirting. Yeah. And it can very easily become the only, like, if you look at our relationship and how we interact in what sets us apart from other people, other than these kinds of conversations, because we don't have these conversations with tons of people around us and we wouldn't go to this depth either. So there's that. That's not flirty. That's like intimate conversation. Mm-hmm. Flirty tends to fall into the jokey realm. Mm. But the other thing, and the reason why this is okay, is it's really awkward. It's like actually really awkward to be like serious flirty.
Mm.
And I think when you're dating, it's easy to do that because it's everything is like you're constantly just in a different brain space and you can't function like that forever. Mm. So I don't think it's bad that it changes.
No, I think the flirting changes though. What it looks like when you're first together is going to look different than 9 years down the track.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I wouldn't just like sort of thing, you know, when you do something.
To be clear, I don't think you did that at the beginning either.
But, yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is an area that like I struggle a little bit with, if I'm honest.
Oh, absolutely. I'm exactly the same. Mm. Because again, it's we fall into the joking category. Yep. I think we feel cheesy doing it and awkward doing it, but something I want to work on.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. That's what I was thinking.
Something I found good too, and you do this really well, actually, when we will go out on a specific, it might be a date or on a birthday, anniversary, whatever else, you always go like, you know, what's been your highlight out of our 9 years of marriage? What's been the highlight of, you know, and you always take us back to where we've been and where we are. Mm. And I think that's been something that that's really impacted our relationship because it's made us prioritize dates. Because we went on a lot of dates before kids.
Oh, yeah.
We went like out for breakfast all the time, dinners. We did that a lot. Mm. And so you were able to take that past experience, but then it's not like, oh, now we can't do that. Now I get all depressed about the differences, but it's just to highlight the impact that that had in our relationship then. Mm. Does that make sense?
Kind of.
So we did things when we first started dating because it grew our relationship.
Yeah.
And so for us to look back at that and see the impact that it's had, it helps us to value that in our relationships today. Now, again, it's going to look different. But it helps value that. It also helps value, you know, like again, we had last week's episode about you and wanting to do acting, you know, I mean, that sort of stuff. Like, and now this year, last year, we were able to revisit that and go back to like, oh, I still really want to do that. And it's really changed things now. Mm. So, I mean, that's a little bit different. But my point is, I don't know, what do you think? How have you found revisiting the past has helped us today?
I think it's really easy to just float along. Mm. And so for me, one of the reasons why those questions come up is it'd be easy to like on an anniversary or birthday, or even when we're just out, it'd be easy to just be out, eat your food, chat about whatever, and then go home.
Mm.
But I'm a very like, a nostalgic-y kind of person. Like, I like to think back on things and stuff like that. And so I think you can very easily just kind of gloss over the significant things that you've gone through without kind of giving them like an emotional time, like a verbalized special time to be like, yeah, this. So the other day we were talking about our babies because he just turned one. And we were like, what's been your favorite thing this year or whatever? Just like it wasn't a huge, massive conversation or anything like that. It was just like a quick thing to talk about.
But it was also really good because I really struggle with our kids in the first year. This is something that it's just been something for all of our kids. Our first year, I really wrestle. And I think it's the lack of sleep. I'm not sure.
100%.
Exactly what it is. But I just really struggle. And, you know, on his birthday, asking that question, I'm like, no, I've loved this year. You know, I've loved so much about this year. And it really brings you back to that. One significant moment I remember you doing this for us was our anniversary 2 years ago. We went up to Queensland and we're out at a restaurant. In this anniversary, we'd just been through a horrific 3 years.
Yeah.
It was a really, really hard 3 years. And you ask, like, what have we, you know, what's been the highlight of that time? And, you know, especially when you go through hard times, I was really able to see, like, oh, man, the highlight was you, and we both would say we just really saw God in those moments and carrying us through those moments, you know, that for us. And that, again, just having that was really not brought joy to the situation, but just emphasizing what we need now. That was a really hard 3 years. This is what we didn't have, and that's the importance of what we need now. So, you know, looking back from the beginning, looking back last year, looking back last week, you know, this sort of stuff, having those conversations has always been very valuable for our relationship.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, I'm kind of, that's kind of how my brain works a little bit anyway. Not everyone's brain works that way. So like one of my cousin families, my families of cousins, my aunt and uncle family, my cousins, one of my families, you know what I'm saying?
Family members.
Yeah. This is something, maybe this is where I even got it, but that's something they do on birthdays is they go around the table and they say one nice thing about the person.
Yeah, I've been there.
And so I think it's really cool, even like in a group setting to do that kind of thing, or with your family together, rather, and even in your relationship, like two people at one time kind of thing. Because not everyone's going to think that way. Mm. Not everyone needs to think that way. Mm. But it'd be very, like I said before, like it'd be easy to kind of gloss over and be like, oh, happy birthday. And then you move on to the next day and it's like, oh, cool. But if you have that moment where someone who is a little bit more reflective maybe or whatever can ask that question, it's a really easy question to ask. It's an easy thing. It might not always be easy to answer, but it's an easy thing to think, to like prompt thinking for almost everybody. And so it kind of gives... it kind of evens the playing field in terms of like being able to take a moment and reflect, even for people that don't naturally do that.
I found that very awkward when I experienced that with your auntie and uncle.
Yeah.
Like, but I found it's mind blowing.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow, you actually taking this time. And it was a little bit awkward on some of their comments because one of your cousins was quite young at the time, but I just felt like, it was so impactful and they just valued that person so much for their birthday.
Super honoring.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you can be so, just go through the motions, have the birthday. Yeah, we've celebrated you, blah, blah, blah. But to have that moment of like, no, this is what we love about you. And I'm going to tell you, we're all going to go around. We're going to take this time and we're going to tell you why we love you. I thought it was really special.
Yeah.
And I've loved that we've adopted that for our kids and stuff.
And I think if you are in a time that might feel a little bit numb or friend zoney, having that moment where you're able to ask a question like that to your partner, whether it's like, what was your highlight or what's something that you're excited about or what's something or tell them something you love about them or something like that that's reflective, really can break through some of that fog and be like, oh, this is a different kind of conversation.
Yeah.
And just set it apart from the other types of conversations you have.
That was the last thing I had on this list was celebrating each other. That's a really big, because again, it's honoring, but it's, you know, you celebrate your friends, but this is, I feel like, a lot more intimate and intentional, and you got to know them, you know what I mean? Like, you really got to know them to know what to celebrate.
You do that very well, babe.
Thank you.
Yeah. I celebrate you for celebrating me.
Ah, celebrate everything. Oh. cool. Another one is setting goals together. So some stuff that we've done is this is it. This is what we've been doing. These are the goals that we've been setting. Is how do we communicate? Like, this is what we want our communication to look like. So something, especially for guys, I'm going to be generalizing here, but for a lot of guys, we love a task. You know, we want to know what the objective is. What are we going towards? So for me specifically, for me to be able to see that's where we want to go helps me a lot to know how I'm going to speak to you. Because if that's not in line with where we're going to go, I'm like, try and come back. And the direction really helps.
100%.
And so that's been a big one. So setting the goals together, understanding where you want to go together is really important. And the cool thing about that is then you've got each other's backs.
Yeah.
It's not just, now you're going to do that. It's like, no, we're going to set these goals together so I can hold you accountable. I can support you, encourage you. I'm going to celebrate you when I've noticed you have been making those changes, and then we're gonna grow together in that season. And again, this is us. I'm essentially taking this episode to celebrate what we've done. You know, and the 9 years that we've been married, these have all been things that we've had to work through.
Yeah,
and we're still working through them, like we've mentioned today. But I want to celebrate that, you know, and just celebrate the intentionality that you've had in bringing these things. Because the majority of these, like honestly, when I was writing these down, I'm like, Amy brought that up. And I just love your mind and how intentional your mind is and how observant your mind is.
I think the goals thing has been really interesting for us in the last maybe 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times. We actually started doing a weekly meeting, which we haven't done for a while, but we like weekly at on Thursdays at lunchtime, we would meet and strategize. And part of the podcast planning was in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And something we've been learning recently, I'm going to say the word visualization.
Yeah.
That sounds a little like, woo-hoo, but just go with me. Something that we've done recently as an exercise
We've done visualization.
Yeah, thank you. And basically,
just look at me and I'll say the word to fill the blank. Visualization.
Thank you, basically, it's about literally sitting there and picturing the goal that you have or the future that you want, and like feeling it and smelling it and describing what it looks like and feels like and like where it is and who's there and that kind of thing. And it has been, for me, and I think you found it powerful
too,
an incredibly powerful exercise.
It helped me understand what my values actually are. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because we're going on pretty long now. We could do an episode on this in the end, I visualized the house location and who was there.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I valued, like the type of house that I had. It was open, you know. Yeah. I wanted an open house so that when I have all of my family there, we can host them all and we can have these celebrations. Mm. We can have that and we're all around the table. And, you know, for me, as a Christian, this was a big thing for me, is we had worship moments. We had, you know, the birthdays. We had all this sort of stuff. So anyway, that was my visualization and helped me realize like, oh, I really value that. And that helps me to know what I'm working towards.
And people use this in coaching to help people know the steps they want to take. Like, you'll picture where you want to go, what your goal is. You do that whole kind of thing, and we can do a big episode on it. And then you step yourself backwards to where you are now. And it really genuinely, the first time we did it, I like opened my eyes and I was like, oh, I feel so much clearer on direction and stuff like that. And values, like you said. And whether you do something like that together or not, having a goal that you're working towards that you can be like, in 5 years' time, even if it's like, we're in a friend zone, where do we want to be in 5 years' time? Yeah. Do we want to be in a friend zone? Do we want to be worse, like even further apart? Or do we want to be in a place where we're in sync and we're working intentionally on our relationship? And deciding what your values are in those things, what your goal is for 5 years, 10 years down the track, has been a really powerful thing for us to be like, okay, if that's where we want to be in 5 years or 10 years, we need to work on this relationship thing now. And we've had conversations where it's like, where do you want to be with this person relationally in 5 years, 10 years time? Do you want them in your life or not? Because if you don't, that's a different thing. If you do, you're working in a wedge, like you're working outwards and it might feel small right now, but this distance kind of gets bigger. So those kinds of things as a family, as a couple, is extremely powerful to know. Otherwise you're just floating around hoping you're both moving in the same direction.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Could talk about this for a long time.
This is a very big passion of Amy's.
Yes, it is.
She's loving it. It's good. The last thing that I've put down here, gang, because we say this a lot, and this is what we're doing in July, is seek external support. Yes. Doing those things, again, if you're in that spot and you're just finding it hard to get out of there together, get external support. I don't feel like we're in a bad place, but the fact that we're still going to prioritize that because I want to keep on getting tools and equipped so then when we are in a bad place or we do have to navigate through something, we're more equipped to be able to do that. So that's the last thing that I had there.
And I think that looks like structured help, like psychologist counseling, that kind of thing. It can also look like trusted friends that you respect. The opinions of that you can spend time in a like trusting safe space to speak into your marriage and that kind of thing, or your relationship. We've had that before and it's been really helpful. People that we can kind of, it's really easy to just like air your dirty laundry to anyone and have a whole bunch of opinions, but other people's opinions don't really matter. If there's someone you can see that is trustworthy and safe and you can see their relationship reflecting
and
values.
They want to build your relationship
and
up.
And they want to build your partner up. That's a good person to use as an external support. And even things like this podcast, we hope, but also like other things like other podcasts or other courses or like educating yourself like we do with work. If we put so much energy and time into upskilling ourselves for work, why are we doing that in relationship when it's one of the most important things?
Yeah. I mean, this is a pretty well-known thing, but, you know, we hear a lot about how when someone's on their deathbed, right, they get asked the question, what would you do differently if you could start over again? And it's always, I wish I spent more time with my family.
Relationship.
And that was one of our values. It's like, all right, if that's the case, how much am I focusing on my career and how much am I focusing on my family? Now, the career can be helping the family, but it can't be instead of, and if it's hindering the family, well, it's another conversation to have, but you know, it's another topic as well.
Good list, baby.
Thank you. But yes, thank you for tuning in, guys. And remember to like, share, subscribe. Your support goes a huge way. But we want to thank you so much for the support that you've already shown us. But yeah, until next week.
Also,
do you need this?
As Blair mentioned, make sure you sign up for the email because we will send this out this week, this list of things. And we're also sending out, we're hoping to do it regularly. We'll see how we go because it is a lot of work, but sending out resources that are relating to stuff we chat about, hopefully weekly. So check it out. I think it'll be helpful, practical things, and we'd really appreciate it. As we've done previously, ChatGPT has crafted us an outro for this.
ChatGPT for the chat podcast. Keep going.
Honey, we need a ChatGPT. Anyway, so I'm just going to read us out in the wise words of ChatGPT. And there we've stitched the last patch on today's relationship quilt. Honey, we need to chat is signing off, but remember, keep weaving those threads of conversation until we chat again. Until next time.
Good chat.